This is the end, beautiful friend.
Welcome, Pewterport readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. It is the second to last edition for the 2018 year. It's almost over, boys.
We made it.
It's over for some people.
We don't know that, Scott. This is Sunday afternoon.
No.
Quit trying to read tea leaves. You're not a fortune teller.
I've watched enough Buccaneer football.
Look, you predicted that Raheem Morris would get fired after 10 games. Look what happened.
He did.
Well, okay, so you got that one right. You thought Greg Schiano, because he lost his first eight, was going to get fired.
He did.
Blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
Okay.
And you said Lovie Smith should be replaced by Dirk Cutter. How'd that work out for you?
It worked out pretty well, because it's exactly what happened.
Well, okay. You're pretty good then. So you're saying Dirk's going to get fired?
Yeah. I also said that Jay Hayes should be fired, and he was, and that Mike Smith should be replaced by Mark Duffner, and he was. So, yeah, Dirk Cutter is getting fired.
So what you're saying, Scott, is you basically run this organization.
People
say they want a team president. They don't need one. Scott Reynolds is running the show.
I'm not, because if I was, this team wouldn't be 5-11 for two seasons in a row.
Yeah, that's right, because it'd
be
accountability.
It'd be worse.
Come on, Trevor Sixth. What the hell are you talking about?
It'd be 2-14. This would be Lehman Bennett years.
It's like people want me to be the head coach. No, you don't.
Yeah, I don't want to be the head coach. No.
Running four verts or all drags or...
Okay, Mike Leach.
You know, okay, all right. You know, you said you wanted to hire Leach in the.
That's right.
In the
Get Mike
five.
Leach.
No,
why
you
not?
Only want Mike Leach because his press conferences are golden.
If this team's going to continue to suck, yeah, I want to be entertained.
Well, I agree with that. All I mean, right, if you're going to be bad.
But how do they get to not suck? That's the topic.
Yes,
right?
That is. Yeah. And let's break down the numbers. Dirk Cutter said that the takeaway or the turnover margin was the big killer this year, and it was. But really, and of course, that played a role in the Buccaneers over the last 2 years being 3-9 in games decided by 7 points or less. And that's the damning statistic right there.
This goes back to Trevor saying this team just doesn't know how to win.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't know how to win. And it was funny because on one of the episodes of the Insiders that I do on 620, Rick and I were just talking off air in between one of the segments, and he was kind of laughing because at the end of one of the segments, I just said, it is always something with this team. No matter what fixes itself or, okay, well, this time we did pass the ball better or this time we did run the ball better or whatever it was, there is then something else that will screw up that will then make this team lose. And he kind of laughed, and he's just like – he was kind of making fun of me. He's saying, there's no point. They're just going to lose. But look, man.
Who was that?
Rick
Stroud.
Was saying, he was making
Rick
fun
Stroud.
Of me.
Oh, Rick Stroud. I was thinking you were talking about Rick Springfield, 80s rocker.
No, I don't
Scott's
know him.
Scott's a big fan.
I don't know
Jesse's
him.
Girl.
Yeah. But
General Hospital.
That's what it's been for this team, though.
Yeah.
And look, man, I can only accept, wow, we just got unlucky today. Won so many times. When it's two straight years, I can't accept this anymore.
Trevor, this team had a 17-0 lead.
You can't. And look, man.
With less than a minute left before halftime.
I didn't even necessarily think that they did anything catastrophic.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like something was glaring.
They just lost.
Didn't win.
Right.
They don't know how to win.
Yes.
They've never had any idea how to win under Dirk Cutter. And the only reason they won more than 500 of their games, whatever, they were above 500 the first year that he was a head coach, was because of Keith Tandy. That's literally it. Without Keith Tandy on the roster, they finished 7-9, and he goes 7-9, 5-11, 5-11.
This team just can't sweep the leg. Another 80s reference for Scott Karate
Kid. That's true, yes.
They just don't know how to go in for the kill. When you have a team down 17-0, you got to bury them.
At home.
When you have the Saints 14-3,
yes.
You bury them.
Right.
This team doesn't bury anybody except themselves.
Except themselves, yes.
And that's the reason. It's not because Dirk's a bad guy. It's that, listen, everybody listening here, Scott and I and Trevor say this all the time, and it's not even an exaggeration. These guys work their asses off 70, 80 hours a week. Dirk Cutter has freaking forgotten more about football than all three of us combined will know. The man, this is what he does for a living.
Yes.
Dirk Cutter does not tweet about you at your insurance job because you didn't sell a policy and can say, oh, I could sell it better.
Right.
I mean, look, but the bottom line is it hasn't worked out. So Dirk even admitted it in his post-game press conference.
Hold on.
What?
Do we think Dirk has a burner account? Like on Twitter? To like read our stuff? A bunch of head coaches have them. They came out this year that like a bunch of head coaches have burner accounts.
I don't think Dirk does.
I don't think he does either, but I think it would be interesting.
About that. But I mean, it's...
Oh, he cares.
Yeah, he reads a lot of stuff.
I mean, Dirk
said it, though. It's a results-based business.
It is.
And I might get fired. I've been fired before, and I might get fired this time.
We'll see. Look, and we've said this multiple times. We criticize him as a head coach because that's our job. When the team doesn't do well, we have to write about why they're not doing well. And
right.
He is the captain
and
of the
ship.
And
sometimes offer up our thoughts on what we
think
he
right.
can do better.
But, like how he handled his post-game press conference today.
Flashback.
He's never shied away from fault.
Yes.
I mean, he might say here and there, you know, the key phrase, like, oh, our guys are our guys, or blah, blah, things like that. But, you know, like, the post-game press conference for him in this situation was tough.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
He's never thrown anybody under the bus.
Because
you can always know when Dirk is not awkward because he has that little nervous laugh before he answers a question.
And but, I mean, he's not an
idiot.
But he
doesn't back down.
He reads all the reports. He knows what's out there. He knows people are talking about him getting fired. And I was telling Mark, you guys were in the room. Me and Mark were working on the stories and we're listening to it.
Mark and I.
Sorry, you're right. Mark and I. We were listening to the stories.
Old guys,
and
boom.
And I was saying
English.
I was saying to Mark how awkward this is because nobody wants to be in that room. The journalists, the head coach, the PR people, the people that work for the team who are sitting in the background working on their photos and it's awkward listening to them yell at people. Nobody wants to be in that room, but you have to be.
That's right.
This is a scheduled press conference. Mm-hmm. You have to be in it. And you're going to get asked some awkward questions. And I thought, I wrote this in my cover three about a month ago, whatever it was, when I did the Frank Sinatra thing, where I said that he's done it his way.
Right.
He has managed this team, this coaching staff, this everything his way. And how he handled himself at the press conference, he went down with his ship.
Yeah.
And he knows it.
That's right.
And that, I have a lot of respect for him as a man for that. And I've had plenty of respect for him for a man.
He didn't come in here, he didn't go in there defiant.
No.
Right.
You know, raising his
blame
little
anybody.
Finger saying F you. And Scott mentioned something earlier that he doesn't throw players under the bus. Sometimes I almost wish he would. I mean, because it doesn't matter how bad a player does, he's going to find that positive, bright lining to the press. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Players love that. Obviously, they don't love it enough because 5-11 is 5-11.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they like Dirk. You know what I mean? They like him as a coach because he's not probably a jerk to him, and he is a straightforward guy. We know that he's a straight shooter. But I don't know; these guys aren't running through brick walls for him. If they did, they would be better than 5-11 2 years in a row.
Again, I don't think it's for lack of effort. I just think that there's just something amiss with this team, offensively, defensively. Trevor, you were kind of alluding to it. It's kind of like that old story where there's like a spring, a leak in the dam, and you go to plug up one hole and another one busts open and you try to plug that one up, and it's like whack-a-mole. It's like you're trying to hit the mole and you think you got something solved. Oh my gosh, the offense is this, and then the defense collapses. Then the Redskins game happens and you're 500 yards of offense and you can't score in the red zone. And the last couple of games, after being down early in the season and having to come back, this team has gotten up against the Saints and gotten up against the Falcons, and they can't hang on to a lead. So it's just been baffling, and I just think that with the record being the same, 5-11, despite the improvements on offense, despite all the talent, and that's one thing too. I think Dirk has really kind of praised Jason Light, saying, "Listen, it's not for lack of talent. I mean, he's brought the talent in here. It's just that even with all the talent and the top 10 offense, they just haven't improved the record."
I think that's Dirk doing a little bit of like he. Not going to throw Jason under the bus like he didn't throw his players under the bus.
Yeah, but
because
we've talked
had,
about this before
if you
on this
Dirk
podcast.
In a room and asked him, you know, what do you think about that secondary that started the season year?
Well,
he'd be like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there's been.
Thanks a lot for giving me Caleb Benenock and Alex Kappa. You know, I mean, that's what he would be saying probably privately.
And I mean, look, I mean, Bradley McDougal went on to Seattle. And he's played really, really well.
J.R. Sweezy,
and they got rid of him.
Went on to Seattle.
Easy.
Okay,
like, you know.
And I wrote about this in my Fab Five. It's like, listen, Jason Light has not been perfect by any means.
But like Sweezy was terrible when he was here.
Did he make the Pro Bowl this year?
He's a Pro Bowl alternate.
He's crazy.
But here's
the
thing: this team had plenty of salary cap room. You didn't have to cut J.R. Sweezy. You could have brought him to training camp and said, "Okay, we're going to give you another year. Like you had your surgery year and you were out. Then you had your bounce back year and it was rough. We're going to bring you back, and you know what? You might not be the guy. We might want Caleb Benenock to be the guy, but we're going to give you training camp just to see." And
how
they
much cap money do they have right now? Right this second, you wrote about this in your.
Right now, they're less than $10 million under the cap.
And Sweezy would have made what?
Five or six.
Yeah. They could have kept. Yeah. They could have kept him.
Yeah. And well, maybe again. I mean,
And maybe you end up cutting him at the end of the preseason. But I'm
but
just
you
saying,
give yourself like, the chance, right?
Right. But no, this team wanted Caleb Benenock to be the guy. Warhop wanted him. Jason Light, who drafted him, wanted him to
Warhop
be the guy.
Warhop also said that Donovan Smith could be a top three left tackle in this league, and he's just wrong.
He's not.
I mean, like, he's wrong.
Yeah, gave up another sack today.
Right. I mean, like, at some point you have to stop BSing, like, yourself, yes. right? At some point you've got to,
yeah,
you know.
Is talent evaluation and just say that hey, this guy – he is what he is, and he's not good enough or whatever. But I would like to see what Caleb Benenock and Alex Kappa could be with a different offensive line coach. I'd like to see what Jameis Winston can be with a different quarterbacks coach,
with a different head
coordinator,
coach.
And a different head coach. Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be different.
Dirk talked about the assistants and you know how difficult it is for them. A lot of them, their contracts are expiring, and he's right. And think about, I mean, I did think about this. I've known this. We've talked about it every time a coach gets fired around here, Scott, but. I mean, these guys are on two-year deals, right,
yeah.
with a third-year option.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not making the millions like Dirk Cutter is
right.
and like these players are.
Yeah, but
I was walking down the hallway the other day. Mike Bajakian comes out.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking. How was your Christmas? He asked me. I said, mm-hmm. Oh, it was fine. I said, how was yours? He says, oh, man, you know, I got a whopping 3 hours in. I was like, well, at least you don't have a bunch of kids. He goes, oh, no. I think he has five kids
mm-hmm.
between the ages of 2 and 7 or 4 kids or something
right.
like that. He spent 3 hours with him on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Nobody is saying
but,
that, like...
But, it, listen, just like Dirk Cutter says...
We're just saying that they're not good at football.
If you want to be a football coach, you're a football coach.
And listen, they're not...
Don't cry,
you know, they're not
it.
Paid that, like,
right.
like a garbage man. I get that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all I'm saying is
yeah, they're people,
you know, when
too,
people
I
are
get
like,
it,
you
sure.
know, fire everybody, clean, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, this is their livelihood.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
This is the fan's livelihood.
So is 5-11 is their livelihood.
If they're good enough, they're going to get paid and get hired somewhere else, too. So it's just like... any job. Like, if you get fired, you get fired. And if you're good enough, you'll end up somewhere doing the same thing.
God, y'all are mean.
I'm just keeping it real.
Man.
Keeping
you
it
suck
five
at your job.
5-11 real.
I can't deal with this.
Well, here's one thing.
I've sucked at my job for 8 years, and you've kept me employed.
Well, that might change, Mark.
Oops. Open up can of worms.
Well.
Okay. Next.
No, I'm just going to let the
okay.
silence.
No, let's keep
I'm
going.
I'm just going to let the silence
awkward
burn.
Silence. I don't like this.
Okay, all right.
By the way, I haven't sucked at my job. I've been...
People
I've
think
been,
you suck at the jokes.
I've been
on the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
People
I
do think
do
you suck at
that.
The jokes on the podcast.
I've been Ryan Jensen over my career.
Wow. So 2/3 evil?
Yeah.
That's his nickname.
I had good games, bad games, you know.
True.
I'm
mediocre. Yeah, you enjoy some good
okay.
barbecue.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's like going, hey, he's the best ever, and nobody's going, he's the worst ever. It's the mediocrity.
Okay. All right. Well. Pewter Report will strive for a better than 5-11 record next year, along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'm 8-8. That's what I'm saying. I'm mediocre.
I don't know, Mark.
I'm a solid 8-8.
I don't want to be a Dolphins fan.
Yeah. You sound like you're 5-11.
I'm 7-9 at least, because
okay.
I got a cool mustache like Jeff Fisher.
All right. Listen, I had the chance to speak to Gerald McCoy after the game. Boy, he got emotional coming off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that, and he's like, this one was different. He was really sad today. He really was. And I know there's a lot of fans out there that are like, good riddance, Gerald, and all that. Listen, say what you want about the guy. He gave his heart and soul for this team, and it wasn't enough as a one-man gang to get this team to the playoffs.
And there were a lot of years he was a one-man gang.
There was.
Literally.
Yep.
Think about some of the guys that he lined up against.
Really,
really
just before this year, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Wilkerson, Roy
right?
Miller.
I mean, like... Who else has he had before
Albert
this
Hainsworth.
Season? Who has
Albert
he had? No one.
I mean, Michael,
right?
A very, very young Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
Very, very
okay,
young
yes.
Michael Bennett.
Okay, yes. Michael Bennett is the one guy.
Yeah.
Adrian Claiborne
right?
had a year or two.
Bad.
Yeah.
He had 7.5 sacks.
Bad.
Had 6-1 game last year.
Clint McDonald, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a kind of a
Brad Culpepper.
List.
No, he hadn't been around that long.
Yeah. But and listen, Gerald wasn't the only guy that was tearing up. I saw Mark Duffner. I went up to Mark Duffner.
Wait, what did you talk about with Gerald? Anything? Or are you saving it or what?
No, he
you couldn't hear him through his tears.
He knows. He knows this is his last game. I mean,
this is the end.
He knows. He could feel it. And
I
will admit
telling.
I got a little choked up just talking to Gerald. I shook his hand. He looked me in the eye and just said, thank you for everything, man. I really appreciate it. Because he's been a stand-up guy.
You said that or he said that?
I said that. I said that to him. He's been a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
He's always...
Yep.
He's always been a stand-up guy. He always...
Did you ask him to unblock us on Twitter?
No.
That's when you got to get them when they're emotional, dude.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll text Gerald later. I'll say, hey, can you unblock us?
It's like when you get your girl emotional, that's when you admit the bad stuff you did, and she'll forgive you easier. Okay. Like, I accidentally ran over your cat. I told you he ran away.
Wow.
It's okay, baby. I love you anyway.
Cook coming clean on the podcast.
Dang.
About the cat killer.
Dang.
I've never killed a cat.
All right, so Duffner. Right,
so I saw Mark Duffner. Mark Duffner literally was welling up, and I went up to him and I said, Coach, I said, I know it wasn't enough today, but you really did a good job with the hand you were dealt and turning the defense around as best you could.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, No, I didn't. And I said, yeah, you did. I said, this defense is better than it was
when
you were just the linebackers coach.
Question.
He's like, no. And he's like, I appreciate you saying that, but no. And I said, Mark, listen to me. Like, for real, yes, it was better, okay? And then he was pointing to Dirk Cutter, who was doing the T.J. Reeves final broadcast on the game day thing.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed to Dirk, and he's like, I let him down. And I was like, damn, that's some pretty powerful stuff right there.
Wow.
That's some pretty – he's like, I'm sad for that guy. I let him down.
We've all been
– I like Mark Duffner a lot. He was our assistant coach of the year last year, having to deal with Kwan's injury and Levante David's injury and getting Kendall Beckwith ready to
play.
I mean,
he's assistant coach of the year again this year.
He is.
No doubt
about it. He is.
That's a guy that's always at the Senior Bowl, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember first time I walked up
to him.
He's
at the East West Shrine. I remember last year. He was almost hard. on the field trying to coach.
Coach Duffner, and he looked at me and went, "Arr!" Like Frankenstein. Yeah,
like in full offseason mode. And I'll tell you what, Skylar Fulton gets the honorable mention for assistant coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
First year as a wide receivers coach replacing Todd Monken. You know, and you look at the job that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin did today. They both targeted 9 times, 6 catches. Godwin, 114
yards.
Yards apiece. 2 touchdowns, 106 yards for Mike Evans, 2 touchdowns. Evans becomes the all-time single season receiving yardage leader. Besting Mark Carrier's records. And I just think that when you look at Adam Humphries having a career year, DeSean Jackson, say what you want about the guy, he had better numbers this year than he did last year. Skylar Fulton is an up-and-coming coach who reminds me a lot of P.J. Fleck, who was the wide receivers coach under Greg Schiano. And we
went
know
to Western Michigan, now at Minnesota.
Yeah, I just think Skylar Fulton's got
a bright future. Fulton and Mike Evans aren't the same person? Have we ever seen those two together in a room?
We haven't.
We have.
We have?
No, field. We haven't.
We haven't.
No, I'm with Trevor. No.
Really?
He's always had a helmet on, so you never know.
Well, yeah.
You never
and
know.
Skylar's always had the bucket hat with glasses on.
Right.
I told you guys, I think 2 years ago, this is when Skylar was an assistant.
Yeah.
He was out on the field early. And I think I texted one of you, and I was like, oh, Mike's not practicing today because he's in shorts and a shirt. And it was Skylar Fulton. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's not Mike Evans, I guess.
Or was it?
I don't know. Ooh, or was it? No, but that's the – so, like –
Show him, Mike. Show him.
We've all
– Okay, I will.
Show
Why
him,
are you
Mike.
Talking to myself?
That was my favorite part of the Titans training camp thing. We've all been a part of the sports teams, though. Like, when you know it comes to an end, then it's – you know, there's all sorts of anger or happiness or motivation or whatever it is leading up to that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the moment it's over – you often get overwhelmed in sports because no matter what happens with this team, whether they do bring Gerald McCoy back or whether Mark Duffner is back, there's going to be people that aren't.
Yes,
this team and like this locker room, this group of guys will never be again. And that's also what makes, you know, Super Bowl teams so special is you talk about like you talk to any guy who's won a Super Bowl or something and they always say, that group of guys, just those guys from the top to the bottom, the stars all the way to the bench guys. And that's what I think everybody gets emotional about is that, you know, it's because sports are not only there has to be a winner and a loser. It's also finite. Like you do not do this forever. Mm-hmm. You don't have these teammates forever, all this kinds of stuff.
You don't even have them back to back consecutive seasons.
You
right. Ever. I mean,
right. Yeah. There's just so much change that any season.
And you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, Quan Alexander gets sent on a blitz and tears his ACL. He's done for the year.
Right.
Like, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, like, who knows if Quan's ever even going to be back? Yeah. We don't know.
Or Kendall Beckwith. And we haven't seen Kendall Beckwith for a year.
One play, you look at Quan, you go, oh, you know, he's 24, however old he is. You look at his TV, oh, I'm going to be playing with Quan forever. And it's all...
You never know.
It can all change. You just never know. And so...
There were two guys that also were extremely emotional in the locker room. Jason Light was just beside himself, and I know he wants to be back. He takes this very personally. The losing just absolutely kills Jason Light. Like, he is, like, I would love to play Jason Light in poker. I would love to. I would clean his clock. I would take his money playing poker because that guy has
no poker face.
No
I
poker
agree
face.
With that.
He was so distraught after this game. It's like he lost the Super Bowl or something to that effect. I mean, of course, Buccaneer fans would love to lose the Super Bowl. That'd be better than a 5-11 record. But it would.
Mm-mm.
Right now, I think Buccaneer fans would take a winning season and a playoff run and all that stuff. Yeah.
No.
Man, losing a Super Bowl would suck.
That would suck.
That would suck.
Okay,
Trevor. All right, Florida's never lost a national championship game. Florida State has. I remember losing to Oklahoma. When Mark Richt decided to leave.
I would rather not even went. I can't imagine
it is
losing
devastating.
Oklahoma in an
losing
actual
to Tennessee
game.
With T. Martin at quarterback.
All right.
It was awful.
Anyways, Jason Light was really distraught. You know who else was? Vita Vea. Vita Vea declined interviews, and he sat in front of his locker and had tears in his eyes. And that was great to see because I think this guy really finished his rookie season strong. Didn't get a sack today, but really was making his presence felt running down. Field making plays, and I think that, gosh, what this guy can do with a full training camp under his
belt. Vita Vea is good.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a special player here in Tampa.
I told you he was the right pick.
Yep.
You're right, Mark.
100%.
Nobody listens to Old Cookster.
Yeah. All along.
Yep.
All along. Never questioned it.
But
not once.
I liked that he took this so seriously, this loss.
Yeah.
And it was really, really tough on him. And
you sure he wasn't just upset because he watched you and Gerald hug it out there at the end?
No.
And it touched him?
No, I don't.
You
think
sure?
So. I'm pretty sure.
No, probably not.
No. Okay, just checking. You know who else? Well, actually, I forgot what I was going to say because I'm 48. But anyway, I guess it really doesn't matter. But I will tell you one thing: the new year's coming up, guys.
It is.
The football season's over. Your weekends are going to be free for the next 9 months.
That's true.
Relatively speaking, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, mine are.
Okay, great.
I have nothing to do on the weekends now.
Okay.
Zero. Because I'm old. But I tell you one thing I will be doing, a lot of fishing.
You should.
From the shore, from a boat, from a canoe, maybe from a raft. I'm going to be fishing because that's what I do. Springtime is the best time to fish in Florida, fresh or salt water. And there's one place to go for all of your marine needs, and, of course, that's T.A. Mahoney's, the sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast this year. Great group of family-owned folks, the business is located at 50th Street in Adamo, and they have all your marine needs covered. I'm not kidding, guys. We talk about boats all the time. Listen, if you need some new fishing line, go see them. If you just have questions about marine things, about a new rod for your reel or a new bait that may be out there, these guys take time. It's not like the big box stores where you got to walk around begging to find help.
Yeah.
Showroom is loaded with employees willing to help and answer your questions.
And they got flare guns.
And they got flare guns because you need a flare gun.
Yeah.
Even if you're not on a boat, maybe you're just in the woods and you get lost. Scott, you could get lost walking around your neighborhood.
That's true.
Out in Wesley Chapel.
Yep.
There's a lot of woods out there
mm-hmm.
and chapels. And guys named Wesley.
Are you telling Scott to keep a flare gun on him at all
at
times?
At all times.
Oh, okay.
He lives on a lake. There's alligators. What if an alligator attacks him?
Well, he probably won't be able to kill with a flare gun.
No, but he can alert the neighbors for help.
Wow, okay. They'll be able to find his dead body. Great.
He can shoot it through his neighbor's window and they'll come out and investigate.
No mystery.
So anyway, T.A. Mahoney is your one-stop shop for all your marine needs, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. They can handle it. T.A. Mahoney is located at 50th Street in Adamo, in business since 1948. Go visit our good friends, the Mahoneys, and tell them Pewter Report sent you over. Well, all right, predictions for next week. Oh, wait, we don't have any more games.
We could do predictions for the draft pick, which is going to be a top 10 pick for sure, right? We have to
wait
until
still not official, but...
Oh man,
it could be as high as four.
I think because recording this and the 4 o'clock games are still going on, that they're picking fifth currently right now. If the Raiders lose
which they to the Chiefs,
then I think the Bucs stay at 5. I don't think the Giants will be able to jump them in strength of schedule, although they are very close. Mm-hmm. So I am going to have to watch how those games and the numbers turn out. But it doesn't seem like the Raiders are going to beat the Chiefs. So it looks like the Bucs are going to be picking number 5 overall. That looks like what
Sweet.
It's going to be.
They can get Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson.
That was last year.
No.
Yeah.
They can't re-enter the draft?
No. They got to make Vea a two-way player.
Bradley
Put
Chubb.
Him at right guard.
Bradley Chubb's kind of panned out a little bit, hasn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah, he
what,
has.
You have 12 sacks or something?
Yeah, 12 and a half, I think. Yeah, the Bucs liked him. Jason Light liked him a lot. And like Quentin Nelson, too. And
we would
like
be
Vea.
Chubb, Nelson, Barkley, Vea.
This was
Is that what we were thinking with the Buccaneers? And that what Jason kind of went with us?
It was what?
Chubb, Nelson, or maybe Barkley was number 2. They really like Saquon Barkley a lot.
I think
Bradley Chubb was the guy if he would have been if they would have had an opportunity. I think they would have taken Bradley Chubb over Nelson, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
I think they would have taken if they would have had an opportunity, they would have taken Derwin James over Vita Vea, but he went earlier.
Nope. That's not what happened. Nope.
Oh, well. Damn, I've had a bad 2018. I've been wrong a lot.
Well, the good news is it's almost over.
Yeah, I can start
over. This is
true.
It's almost over, Mark.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Scott.
The end is near.
Did you put any money down on Notre Dame yesterday?
I did not.
Put any money down on Oklahoma?
I did not.
Well, those were smart moves.
Yes, they were.
Now, I'm thinking about putting some money on Clemson over Alabama in the championship game. The problem is my bookie is now in the big house. He got arrested, and I hope he doesn't name names. So I'm looking for a new place to go where I can gamble.
Well, aside from your own individual bookie, you can go to mybookie.ag, and they are the place to go. They've got
Wait, your bookie's name is AG?
No, it's MyBookie.
No, you're saying MyBookie.ag.
Yeah, that's the website, mybookie.ag.
It's a website. It's not a person.
It's a website. And at mybookie.ag, they've got the fastest payouts in the business. Bowl season is still going on. We've seen a lot of great games so far. Several more to come. The big New Year's Day bowls are right around the corner, and then you've got the big national championship game coming up, too, with Alabama and Clemson, the threequel. And you can bet on that game.
The threequel.
The threequel, that's what they're calling it. You can bet on that game. You can do money line. You can do over-under in terms of the points. You could do the point spread. You can do in-game bets, prop bets.
You could do if Nick Saban's going to come out with a mustache.
You don't think that's going to happen,
no.
But there might be a prop bet on that.
There was a prop bet if Joe Buck was going to have facial hair during the last time he did a Super Bowl. That's a true prop bet.
I bet it is.
Really?
Because he's done that before, yeah.
So, anyways, mybookie.ag, they're the ones that we've turned to here at the Pewter Nation podcast the last couple years. Like I said, they got the fastest payouts in the business. If you want a 50% deposit bonus when you sign up, they're going to give it to you.
What?
All you have to do is mention the word Pewter, the promo code Pewter.
You?
It's free.
No.
It's free.
Nothing in life is free, my dad told me.
50% deposit bonus. Mention the promo code Pewter only at mybookie.ag.
All right. Can we do some rapid fire? Will they be back in 2019?
Yes.
You want to do it?
Go for it.
All right.
We need some theme music. Oh, we don't have it.
Don't
Go
have
ahead.
It. No, we don't have the – we didn't get the copyright for the theme music.
Okay.
So we're just going to have to be silent.
We haven't had a copyright for any of this music.
Dirt Cutter.
Gone.
No.
Okay. I'm going to need you guys to – answer individually. Okay. So, you know, you don't muffle each other's answers. You know, this is a
All right, Mark,
listening
you go
medium.
First. I'll defer to you, the
Jason
elder
Light.
Statesman.
You go first, Scott.
Yes, Jason Light will be back.
Yes, Jason Light will be back.
You think so? Okay. All right.
That's a toughie. It's not going to shock me tomorrow if that press release says Dirk Cutter and Jason Light have been, you know.
Correct.
They
removed.
Better
you
have know, somebody you know, in mind,
you know,
man.
Here,
and when I say somebody in mind, I don't mean a head coach in mind that then they're going to hire a GM from the head coach, because that does not work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. There's no head coach out there right now that's available,
it's
I think.
It's working good in Oakland.
That's Yeah, for draft picks,
again.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no head coach out there right now that I would say, like, oh, yeah, autonomous. Yeah, just make him, you know, the dictator. That's
right.
Good. He's obviously has the pedigree
not
for
Mike
this.
McCarthy?
No.
No.
What about Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney, maybe.
Sir Paul.
No. Sorry, Sir Paul McCartney. Okay, so yes on Jason Light?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I'm going to say yes.
Gerald McCoy?
No.
No.
You both say no?
No, he
no.
won't be back.
Yes, he'll be back at a restructured deal. He wants to finish his career in Tampa.
I don't think he comes back.
I think I might be with you there. I don't know, I think. I think a lot of it has to do with Jason, obviously.
But, I'm just repeating Scott's answer, then I'm giving you mine.
Okay, sure. DeSean Jackson. Here's
no,
a softball.
No, gone. No, gone.
If you don't want to be here,
yeah.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
We'll never visit Tampa Bay again.
No.
Brent Grimes.
No.
No.
Good okay.
riddance.
No, all right, good riddance. All right. Adam Humphries.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
I think Adam comes back.
No, Adam's absolutely a goner. There's going to be a team that's going to pay him $7 million named the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
Wow.
Ooh, boy.
Wow. You know what, Mark? You might be onto something there.
You might be right.
Yeah, I don't think so, though, because Carolina, they've got enough receivers. I think with Devin Funchess, with
all, gotta, all you got to do is got Samuel. You got Cam in the backfield, right? You got Christian McCaffrey to your right. You got Adam Humphries to your left. It's like the quadruple
yeah,
option because
right.
Adam, no. It's the quintuple option because Adam can also throw.
That's right.
And Cam's as
emergency
big as a tight end.
Yep.
Yep.
That'll really mess you up.
Yep.
No, Humphries goes back to Carolina, homecoming.
Mm.
Grew up nearby South Carolina.
Mm.
I think the Panthers are going to come after him.
All right.
I think he stays and gives the Bucs the hometown discount.
Okay.
But Ron Rivera will be coaching the Buccaneers.
Cameron Brate.
Yes.
It really depends on who the GM and the head coach is. I think Cam is a luxury
mm-hmm.
that if the new coach comes in and it's a one tight end offense, I think that's a luxury just because Cam's number at $7 million next year.
Correct.
Makes
I'm
him
with
a
you.
Luxury.
Will Golston.
No.
I think he's gone. That 3.75 helps because he's making six this year.
Yes.
Just like, ouch.
How bad is that, though? Most of the time, these contracts are backloaded with these accelerated.
Yeah.
I mean, all seriousness, guys and gals that are listening to this, you work for a company for 5 years,
yeah.
and you know you expect a raise, and we're like, we're cutting your pay in half.
Yeah.
But you signed the deal.
Right.
I mean, how much motivation are you going to have? That's going to gotta be a bummer, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't think Will has done enough to earn the right
of
to stay.
Of course not. Noah Spence.
No.
I think Noah's back, yeah. I do.
You do?
Yeah, he's on his rookie deal. It doesn't hurt.
He'll be back in training camp. I don't know that
yeah.
he makes his team.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's
I don't
back.
Think,
that
I don't
goes
think,
into it. That goes,
you can't,
that, all right,
you
that goes into it.
You can't,
I'll ask
you
another
you look
one after
at his,
this.
You yeah. look at his statistics this year, you can't justify taking
what,
up a
zero?
Roster spot for that. He's had a couple special teams tackles.
Okay, so. Yeah.
A second round
does
special
he make
teamer.
The roster
no.
in 2019?
No.
I have no idea. That's way too early to say.
No.
But,
okay.
yes, I think he stays this offseason and goes to training camp. But Vinny Curry is the guy who's not going
to
be here.
Well, I didn't
here.
Get to him yet.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Come
all
on.
Right, Vinny Curry.
No, I think Vinny Curry's
yeah,
gone
Vinny's
for $8 million.
Gone.
Bo Allen.
Ugh.
If Gerald McCoy is leaving.
If Gerald McCoy is leaving.
Then I think Bo Allen
think
at
Bo
$5
Allen
million.
At $5
million.
Probably
Farfik Nugent.
Farfik Nugent. I told you I'm going to answer exactly the way you answer. I expected
I
you to say yes or no, but instead
yeah.
you're going to this long diatribe.
No, I think that
Bo Allen
is going
to stay
here. Mark Cook is an asshole.
Wait, you tricked me.
I know.
All right, so Bo stays.
I think Bo stays.
Does Ronald Jones make the roster next year?
No.
You say no. What do you think?
No.
You both say no?
No.
He's awful. He is awful.
Yeah,
and I don't know that I've ever seen a player who, when you watch his college film, and you guys are draft nerds, but I spent a lot of time looking at it after the team. Well, even before the draft, because he was one of those guys that we knew was in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at him versus a guy like Nick Chubb and some of these other running backs that possibly mm-hmm. could have been there, guys,
right,
and,
right.
And Sony Michel, and you start. So I did watch it, and I thought. Man, this guy's kind of a special guy, a home run threat.
This is the
yeah.
dude they
Something
need.
This team
right.
needs. As yeah. much as you love Peyton Barber bouncing off six or seven tackles,
yeah.
he's not going to the house at
right.
any
right.
point.
Yep.
Right.
And I thought, but what I'm saying is I don't know that I've ever seen a guy shine on tape the way he did
and not do a damn thing
not,
at the NFL
Not
level.
Even look like the
yep.
same person.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't even point to one play in the regular season and say, yep, he's a future starting running back. Or he's even a guy that deserves 10 or 12 carries a game. You can't point to one play
they try.
During the season.
They tried
yes.
even later in the season. Like, we're going to give him a handful of opportunities.
Yeah. He dropped him.
He dropped
the ball.
It's just bad.
Right.
I should have known because he was not AOL. Anyway, rookie camp diaries wasn't the greatest with him.
Yeah.
Who is the number two QB next year? Ryan Griffin or anyone else?
Anyone else. The number two QB is going to be a draft pick. He's not on this roster right now.
If Jason Light is back, Ryan Griffin's back at the number two
spot.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're going to draft a quarterback in the middle rounds. And it's very similar to what happened with Josh Freeman, where Freeman was entering his fifth year, his contract year, and they drafted Mike Glennon.
Scott, there's not that many good guys with first-round grades that are going to be coming out this year.
I agree.
So a third-round guy is going to be technically a fifth- or sixth-round guy in years past. Are you going to really take a third-round pick for a guy that's really a fifth-round graded guy, essentially, in most drafts?
I don't know what Ryan Griffin can do. I have no idea.
Well, they do. Dirk said he lights it
up in
practice.
They're not going to be here.
It doesn't matter. They said he's good enough. I believe Dirk.
Okay.
I'm all in on Dirk.
Dirk's
all
not going to be here, though.
Maybe. Well, actually, is Cairo Santos still going to be the kicker?
Yes. Okay. I think Cairo's done enough.
I was thinking about that. I don't know, because his kickoffs, man, every once in a while he'll – but like, maybe they were doing their mortar kicks or whatever. They wanted to do some returns.
No,
but
kickoffs are
kicking,
his weakness.
The thing is, he kicked a couple of them 7 yards deep in the end zone, and he kicked a couple that didn't even get to the five from – the same, I mean, okay, not a couple, but from the, you know, from not like he's kicking with the wind at his back or into the wind.
They went to the 10-yard line, and that's it. Yeah,
I don't understand.
So here's the thing. Cairo Santos, I think, comes back as the kicker, but I think that Brian Anger is the guy that's gone. They replaced Brian Anger.
Although he had a hell of a day today.
Yeah, but
it was the best game of the year, I think.
Yeah, but he's not been the same guy that he was a couple years ago.
What's he making, though? He's
$3 million.
Like $3 million.
Yeah, so I think he's gone, and they bring in a punter who can also handle kickoffs.
You're going to draft him in the second round?
No.
Should they?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Last one, Quan Alexander.
Yes, Quan is back. My biggest question is, if it's Jason Light, then I think that there may be a contract extension for Quan. But if it's somebody else, it might be a one-year prove-it deal for Quan.
Okay.
That's my only caveat there. Okay. I don't know. I can't read the tea leaves on this one. I think Quan will be back. I just don't know if it's going to be a one-year prove-it deal because of the ACL and the timetable, or if he's going to get that contract extension.
Let me ask you a question. Would Quan last on the open market? Because no one's going to know how he is in March when free agency hits.
Right. The ACL.
So will he last up until, you know, that week before training camp where you could make a decision?
No. He might not get signed day one of free agency, but there's no way he'd go. There's no way the month of March goes by and he's not signed.
Yeah, and the
no
tough
way.
Thing.
I don't know. He could go March because, I mean, look at the safety market last year. Just freaking collapse.
Guys
signed halfway through the season.
I just feel like Quan.
How about Richard Sherman? When did he get signed? Because he was coming off the foot injury.
When did Richard Sherman get signed?
And he's a more proven player, although he's older.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I mean, it was in the free agency period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and the one thing
and
to
he
consider.
He acted as his own agent. Terrible deal, by the way.
The one thing to consider, though, is Quan's agent is Drew Rosenhaus.
Right.
He's very cutthroat.
Right.
You mean Jerry Maguire?
Well, yeah, very, very cutthroat. And the thing about that is you don't want to sit there and say, hey, Quan, we love you. We want you to go out and get an offer, and then we'll match it. Like you test the market, and then you come to us. I think that's a big risk right there for the Buccaneers because I think Drew Rosenhaus says, hey, Buccaneers, screw you. If you're not going to make my guy an offer, I'm taking the offer that I get elsewhere. I'm not going to give you a chance to do that.
Okay.
But here's the deal. If you're Quan Alexander, do you accept because you're coming off an injury and, you know, a team is not going to give him a $10 million a year average coming off an injury. If the Bucs offer him 7 years, you know, a one-year deal, or do you take a 3-year, $12 million deal?
Did you say 7 years?
No, 1 year, $7 million type deal.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
I think the Buccaneers bringing back, and I think they load it up with some incentives. You know what I mean? Potential to make $8, $9, $10 million on a 1-year deal, you know. But if you don't, they've got a way to get out a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Because they also have Beckwith, so that's the other wrench in all this.
That's the thing. We didn't see Beckwith play at all this year. And
well,
we don't
that's
know
true.
How that ankle
yeah, that
is
true. That's true.
Is I mean, hey, listen, when Dirk Cutter said, you know.
They got Riley Bullitt, people.
Yeah. When Dirk Cutter was asked about it, if it was career threatening, he's like, I don't know. I mean, like, that was kind of telling.
Yeah.
That he said that.
Yep.
I'll tell you one thing. It's not ping pong threatening.
What's that?
That injury. I've seen him play ping pong quite a bit this
year. Okay, so, all right. On that bad angle. We got to kind of wrap it up here in the next 5 minutes or something, but I did want to touch on that just because it is the end of the season. It looks like something's over with this regime. Dirk Cutter, I feel like, is a player's coach.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Kind of.
It didn't work. And I've seen the other, not from the extent that you guys have, of like the almost like the military way of like Greg Schiano and things like that. But
toes on the line!
It's got to be.
His voice wasn't that high.
Like, what does this team need, I guess is my question. Like, what kind of a coach does this team need?
I think the reason I don't think they're going college is they
broke all sorts of NFL records.
John Harbaugh.
They had the best offense
John
in a
Harbaugh.
Passing league.
They need a guy with a resume.
I think so, too.
A proven resume, a proven winner in the NFL. But here's the deal. Before this year, the Baltimore Ravens had missed the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's the reason he was on his way out before they turned things around.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, while everybody said, yeah, John Harbaugh, and that would be my number one pick, I don't want to get into names too much because we will likely get into more names. You're not a college guy, though.
Well, I
read Scott's Fab and the Mike Leach thing is interesting, but I don't think the Glazers can afford to gamble on.
Should we do this conversation
that.
In the next podcast? Should
yeah.
we just let us
tomorrow.
So that should be it. All right.
Yeah.
So, all right. There we go.
Sorry,
all right.
Folks,
so there's like a teaser.
Hanger,
sorry.
24 hours. Okay. You have to wait for it, okay?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to wait on. A burger
dinner.
And a beer.
Yeah.
I'm starving.
You know who went to the Wesley Chapel Ford's garage the other night?
This guy.
Yeah, I had the barbecue brisket burger.
That's a good one.
It's damn good.
Douglas, my son, loves that one. That's his favorite one.
I love it. You got the little fried crispy onion straws on the top. You got some barbecue brisket.
Yep.
I went with the Angus. I told you I'm an Angus man now. Oh, no. I didn't go with the Angus. I went with the Wagyu.
Yeah.
That
for a couple more bucks.
Yeah. It's way better than the Angus.
Absolutely.
And it had a delicious burger and washed it down with a Duke's Brown Nose, or Duke's Cold Nose Brown Ale. It's a cold
that was
nose.
Named after Trevor.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's a phenomenal beer. I love the beer list because they feature about 20, 30, 40 beers on tap, and a lot of those are local. Duke's is out of Jacksonville. And they just do a great job at Ford.
I don't waste my time on the beers. I go straight to the bourbon and the gin.
There you go.
I don't need to pee a lot before I get drunk. Just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
A couple shots, you're good.
There you go.
Now, Ford's Garage, I mean, they've got it all. You know, they've got frozen drinks, the fruity drinks for the ladies. Or for, you know, some guys. Who knows? It's up to them. Whatever you want, they got you covered from the drinks to the food. I cooked some salmon the other day, guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should have went to Ford's. It was okay, but it wasn't Ford salmon.
Right.
Great burgers, great mac and cheese. Listen, lobster mac and cheese, 1/4 pound of Maine lobster in the mac and cheese. It's phenomenal. I try and feed some to Scott every time we go there.
You're trying to kill me.
Yeah, you're trying to kill him.
Well,
my shellfish allergy,
I'm just saying.
Man.
I try and, here, just have a small taste. It'll be fine, Scott. I got Benadryl in my pocket.
Yeah, and I say, oh, is this the regular mac and cheese?
And I
you're
say,
like, yeah, go
sure,
ahead. Yeah.
Sure. What are them shrimps and lobster floating around in there? But they've got a great mac and cheese selection. Listen, they've got an amazing chili. They've got a potato soup that is good for an appetizer. Their nachos are out of this world. Best part about them is you can't really be in the Bay Area and not be within a few minutes of a Ford's Garage. So go check them out. Let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Take a photo of yourself. Put it on Twitter. We'll retweet it. And we will not give you anything because we don't have anything to give you. But if we ever have anything to give you one day, we'll give you something if you do that.
We might.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably not. All right. We got to wrap it up. This was episode 100, part 24.
Yep.
It's the final episode, final part of episode
100,
folks.
What a great finale it was.
Yes.
And it was. So anyway, for until tomorrow.
Yes.
Which is Monday, we're going to have a special edition of coaches. Special edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. Yep. Maybe. If not, it's going to be a pretty boring podcast because we're going to rehash what we just talked about today.
No, well, actually, if they don't fire him, it won't be a boring podcast.
Yeah, but the thing is, if they don't fire him tomorrow, doesn't mean he's still not going to get fired. So then we're just going to be talking about what's going
to happen.
They waited
like 19 days to fire John Gruden.
Yeah.
They did.
They either do it right away, they either rip the Band-Aid off.
Right.
Or
remember when they fired Jay Hayes 40 days after the season and I asked Dirk Cutter about it, and then he's like, oh, I didn't know that we had a timetable. And I was like, oh, well, you do. I was keeping track, so.
Yep. Yep. All right.
Hey,
for Trevor Sycamore.
Hold on.
Whoa.
Trevor.
Trevor.
Yes. So if we fire Mike Smith, then what?
Well, then you get fired, Dirk.
There we
then
go.
And you get fired after that.
There we go.
It's my favorite quote that season.
That's where we are.
I don't know about favorite quote, but it was when Mike Smith was obviously still the defense coordinator, and somebody had asked Dirk Cutter. They said, "Hey, I mean, okay, so all right, so we have the worst defense in the NFL. Okay, we have the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL, and for the second year in a row, it's the worst defense in the league. Okay, I mean, so I fire him. Then what? That him saying that to me,
yes,
is something that I remember throughout the rest of the year. And if he is done as Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, that will be a quote that I remember for a long time.
But ultimately, how many games did they win under Duffner, even with a better defense? It's just a dysfunctional team right
but
now.
But if they would have fired Mike Smith this offseason like they should have had the balls to do,
they would have been
7-9. Then this season's a lot different because then they go into training camp with a different defense. Right?
And hopefully a better one, yeah. I think Duffner, again, did a good job
anyways.
With what he had to win.
No, he
anyways.
Didn't. He let Dirk down.
Tomorrow will be
his
fun.
His words.
That's true.
Yeah, tomorrow will be fun.
Monday.
We'll be over at One Buccaneer Place early reporting. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Check out PewterReport.com. We'll have all the updates, and we'll have the stories up ASAP. Our reaction to whatever does take place tomorrow, we'll have it. Also, another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. For Trevor Sycamore, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooks, and we'll see you on Monday for another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out.